welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the second hour of the Alex Jones Show for this Tuesday, the 14th of April broadcast. I'll be joined shortly by Michael Yawn, but I want to go to a video here because it's interesting. It's an interesting example of an awakening occurring. It's a woman who worked for Now This News for years that suddenly woke up during COVID. And I always love hearing these stories because to me, it's like if you haven't woken up already, I don't know if anything can wake you up. But a lot of people woke up during COVID and it was a beautiful thing. And this is what we're trying to manifest in minds the world over, this awakening, this realization that they may be believing a whole bunch of lies. Let's watch.
So when does this small hint of doubt, are you slipping something at like a drunk wine night, turn into you this complete breakup?
So the timeline is that I was at Now This from 2015 to 2021. And so I was there through the COVID stuff too. And so, and I was visible. I was an on-camera person the whole time I was there. So the whole world shut down at the peak of COVID. It was something like 17%. We saw a 17% reduction in our carbon emissions, the peak of COVID. Mm-hmm. So that's like just like those 2 weeks. Over the year, it ends up being something like 5% reduction. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, the climate movement wants 100% reduction in our carbon emissions. What is it going to expect of our society?
Yeah, we're like, literally locked in our homes, not doing anything.
And we still have carbon emissions. And so that was the first moment where I go, hold on. I don't know if I want to live in a world where we have zero carbon emissions because I'm kind of depressed right now at home. This sucks and we have no freedoms. And so what does the climate movement, if you take it to its logical conclusion, it's not going to be no big deal. Like it's going to require people to give up their freedoms to like lower carbon emissions. And so that was one thing. And then the other thing was I was very anti-plastic and all of a sudden like the PPEs everywhere, the masks, the plastic barriers between every table at a restaurant and when you're checking out your food at the grocery store. And I'm like, wait a minute, I've been sweating about a single use plastic straw for the last 5 years. And now we've proliferated more plastic in the last few months than I've seen in my lifetime. And also looking around, we seem like we're fine. It looks like our society was able to absorb that plastic and the world has not ended. It's like, we don't have time for nuance. We just have to push for the most extreme narrative because this is a fire alarm situation and the planet is going to be destroyed. So like, we don't have time to think about the downsides of solar and wind. Like we have to just keep pushing forward because this is existential. And so I subscribe to that where I'm like, you know, this is an existential threat and we don't have time to like look at the details. Like, you know, like, we just have to get people to care and to be afraid. And because if they're afraid, they're going to change their habits. When I was in the climate movement, I got my identity from being a good person and from being on the right side of history. And so I identified with that. And so good people don't question the climate movement. You know, good people don't listen to fossil fuel shills or defend fossil fuels. Good people don't question the climate narrative. And so this identity of being good, and I talked a little bit about this idea of atoning, right? Because everyone's obsessed with the white privilege and everything. And I'm realizing like, oh my gosh, I'm an oppressor by being a white woman and from America. And so I need to atone for my sins by pushing and being part of this movement. And that is what makes me good. And so if I'm going to leave this, I'm no longer going to be seen as good and I'm no longer a good person. So who am I? And then that's when you have to start doing the work of building up yourself.
Absolutely fascinating. It hits different when it comes from one of them, doesn't it? I mean, we could make those arguments till we're blue in the face. It goes in one ear and out the other. But that is just absolutely fascinating. It's everything that we say. Her realizing, wait, this doesn't make me a good person. Wait, I'm atoning for something I didn't do. None of it makes any sense. But the thing that you have to break out of is that assertion that being good means being a part of this leftist nonsense. You've been tricked. You've been fooled. They've taken your goodness and warped it and turned it against you. The good thing to do now, the only thing to do now, is realize that they're the bad guys and develop a comprehensive worldview that makes that true. Luckily, you don't have to come up with one yourself. We've been preaching it for the last 30 years here at InfoWars. It's about centering humanity, centering our potential as a species, and recognizing all these limitations are not for our good. They're the evil little scum that are trying to hold us down, and they're succeeding because a lot of really good, powerful people believe them and go along with it. It's totally absurd. What a powerful clip. Michael Yawn joins me on the other side, folks. Don't go anywhere.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available at DallasTheStore.com. The very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the info war, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheAlchemistStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheAlchemistStore.com.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is The Alex Jones Show.
How can we reduce the demand? Because, of course, the least expensive energy is the energy that is not used. We should reduce demand while fully respecting the free choice of consumers. So we are looking at energy efficiency levers such as renovation of buildings or the renewal of equipment in industrial operations. These are some measures, but there are also other measures that we will present or will be the core of the presentation of the communication next week on the table of the leaders. So far for the...
So there's the European Commissioner or EU Commissioner... Ursula von der Leyen saying that the best use of energy is no use at all. It would be very efficient if you were all dead. You know, the way to save money on food is to not eat, and the way we save the air is not breathe. If you were all in the ground, the earth would be thriving. It's incredible stuff, and of course, it's not a coincidence that oopsie daisy, we go to war with Iran, and it looks like we have to do another lockdown, another climate change style, you know, scandal emergency. And it's all just as predictable as it is fraudulent. Here to talk about all of this, including the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, is Michael Yon. You can follow him on X at Michael_Yon. That's Y-O-N. MichaelYon.com, MichaelYon.locals.com as well. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. And speaking of Ursula, I believe her pony was killed by a wolf 2 or 3 years ago. Was it? Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. Remember that they're weaponizing wolves in Europe. That's one of the weapons that they're using to reduce the, you know, cause problems for the European farmers. You could probably find it online, but one of those wolves, you know, they pretend like these wolves have, you know, just always, you know, I speak German and I can read German. So whenever this happens with a wolf in Germany, I read their newspapers and they're, you know, they're always blaming the farmers. One farmer in Netherlands, his name's Jordan Vanderman is his name. He goes, what are these wolves? They say they're indigenous here. Did these wolves? My grandfather built this polder. You know what I mean? The polder, that's where they drain the water. And he goes, what were they, sea wolves killing seahorses? You know?
Did that really happen? Ursula von der Leyen had a pony eaten by a wolf?
I think it was killed by a wolf, and I think they were taking DNA. Can you find it online? I mean, I believe that was 2 or 3 years ago. I've been watching the wolf thing for a while.
That sounds like, you know, that sounds like an omen to me.
Wolves and beavers, and
I'm going to add that to my list of European omens, because there's the black and white horse covered in blood running through the UK. It's like, I think the nature of Europe is desperately crying out, and none of us are listening. I had no idea about that. I mean, if you look into Ursula von der Leyen, I mean, she is like the quintessential, like, you know, European elite globalist. I mean, comes from the wealthiest families you can imagine. These two German aristocracy families joining, and she's the, you know, the premier example of them, and she's just systematically destroying Europe. What is wrong with the European leadership, Michael?
Just woke. I mean, really gone. But it's been, well, I think they were never not like that. You know, actually, those upper echelons have always been very super elitist. There she is. Did that horse get eaten by the pony? I mean, did that pony get eaten by the wolf? You know? Oh my gosh. I was talking with one Dutch lady, by the way, who was taking DNA samples of all these. There it is. Yeah,
Ursula
that's
von der
right.
Leyen warms to wolf calls after losing her pony. Okay. Interesting.
Oh my goodness. And another German lady, she was on her electric bike, and she said some wolves were trying to get her, almost got her, but she outran them with her electric bike, apparently was quite fast. I mean, these wolves are serious. They're weaponized. Anyway, I could talk for hours about the wolves. I've looked into that quite a lot. But when it comes to, that's just one of the weapons of many. You know, when you go into a war, there's so many weapons being used. Nobody even knows how many weapons are being used, even the people in the war. And wolves are one of the weapons. Beavers are another one, you know, to flood lands that people live on, that sort of thing. So there's so many, like the screw worms, and you know, that we predicted what, 4 or 5 years ago would start making a comeback, and they have, right? Yep. Actually, and so that's entomological warfare. You see the ticks with Lyme disease and that sort of thing. Anyway, but when it comes to the big stuff, energy, right? If you really want to cause famine, you know, as you recall, probably we've talked a couple times, you and I, about how we successfully predicted Nord Stream would be cut. My wife Masako and I, we were at BASF a couple of times before Nord Stream was cut. The last time we were at BASF was 14 days before Nord Stream was cut. And we were there specifically because we thought Nord Stream would be cut and BASF would be, you know, something you would want to target if you're trying to create famines. In fact, I just put on X tonight. I wouldn't doubt that we'll see sabotage at BASF. In any case, Nord Stream did get cut, just as we predicted, and Groningen gas field also got cut, just as we predicted, and so many other things. The reason that we're getting these things right is we just do what Alex Jones said he does. He just reads what they say they're going to do, and then we just go out there and audit. I mean, it's pretty simple in its essence. I mean, it does take a lot of study. It's not like you can just read a couple articles and know what they're going to do. It's not that simple. You do have to study a lot. And then we physically go and we look at places, and then over time, that's why I never saw them saying that we're going to close the Strait of Hormuz. I never saw them say that. I'm just studying what they're doing, what their capabilities are, and at some point I'm like, you know what? I'll bet Zionist forces, let's say that's a combination of U.S. and Israel and that MENA structure, I'll bet you they're going to close Strait of Hormuz and blame Iran. And then, you know, and I kept saying that in interviews and publishing it, and now they've done it yesterday. You know, even when I'm confident that this is, you know, the analysis is good, you're still a little surprised when it comes true, you know? And of course, I think that we have to keep a close eye on Panama. I think Panama Canal at some point will be interrupted. You saw the fire recently under the bridge, the Bridge of the Americas. There it is. Was that actually video from the Bridge of the Americas?
That was a Ukraine bridge, but it just goes to show you that all over the world, there are these attacks on infrastructure in general, but energy infrastructure in particular. And you combine that with the Greta Thunberg, you know, climate change agenda. It's like, well, one's just the more efficient method. And, you know, you can either shut it down by voting for it and, you know, all cheering while you collapse the nuclear cooling tower, or you can strike it with an airstrike. It's like, we're doing the same thing. So really what I find is makes it easy for me to predict things. I'm sure it's the same with you, is you have to know their motive. You have to know what they actually want and what they're going for. If you don't know, if you think we're actually trying to win a war against Iran to stop their nuclear, that's not what it's about. It's about continuing the operation they've been in, different manifestations. COVID was obviously one of them, of locking down the world and sort of getting us used to a one world government with arbitrary restrictions run by corporations. I mean, once you know that's the plan, everything else kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, you just said the golden key right there, knowing their motive, right? And then from there, we, you know, knowing their motive, we know that one of their motives in service to the larger grand strategy picture is depopulation.
Right.
And one of the things they're using for depopulation is just famine, like massive famines. So then working back from there, close Strait of Hormuz, close Panama Canal, close Suez, close the Turkish Straits, you know, or let's say Bosphorus, close Danish Straits. We were just up there looking at that. Close Malacca, Singapore Strait, obviously Suez, Bab el-Mandeb. Close those things. Close maybe Hamburg. We were just up there looking at that. Close, that's the biggest harbor in Germany, Hamburg. It's the third biggest in Europe. Close Antwerp and Rotterdam and a few other things. Before you know it, you'll have, you know, they've been destroying these fertilizer plants and, you know, culling chickens and all sorts of things, destroying fishing boats and It goes on and on. These things are additive pressures. There's no thing in particular. Actually, I think that there's no thing in particular that puts us in famine. But because I think we've proven to be, I think that they thought that we would probably go into famine during the actual pandemic lockdowns, right?
Right.
Or after that, maybe within a year or so. But it didn't happen, actually. I think that that was actually a goal at that time, but we were more resilient. The system was more resilient. It's a very robust system. But they kept working on it and working on it and coming back with a bigger plan now and obviously cutting down. You see what they're doing in the Gulf states. They're destroying the synthetic countries, the 1922 countries, those countries, you know, like Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, Oman, Saudi Arabia, UAE. They're closing those. They're destroying those countries, and Israel is being destroyed as well. A lot of people don't get that. Maybe 1% see that part of it, but I wouldn't be surprised, for instance, in Iraq to see Mosul Dam be destroyed. Oh. I first wrote about that maybe 20 years ago, actually, Mosul Dam, because there's when you look at the causes of war, the reasons for war, let's say, are routes, resources, and ideology. Routes, resources, and ideology. And all three of those are in sharp relief on this one. And keep in mind, a lot of these countries are synthetic, like Panama. We created Panama in 1903 to make the Panama Canal. The British created the GCC countries, you know, those I just named, like Kuwait and Oman and Saudi Arabia. They created those in 1922 in service to routes and resources in the Gulf area. And 1948, Israel was created for the same reason. Israel to gain control of the Suez Canal and some other issues there. So that's actually two countries related to canals. That would be Israel and Panama, created largely for canals, right?
Right.
And so they want to build the Ben Gurion Canal through Israel, which I think was probably related to the ever given blockage of the Suez in recent years. But bottom line is, I think you're going to see, I would not be surprised if actually to see BASF at Ludwigshafen, Germany, and other places get attacked. I wouldn't be surprised to see that at all, because they're clearly depopulating Europe in general and the population, and the general population of planet Earth. And so they will take out as much of this energy infrastructure. They're not just turning it off, like Groningen gas field in Netherlands, the biggest gas field in Europe. They didn't just turn off the valves and that sort of thing. They you know, damage the architecture a great deal. You can't just turn it back on again. Same with Nord Stream. They didn't hit it with a software attack or that sort of thing that you could, you know, unscrew it and get it going again. They blew it up and flooded the pipes, right?
Right.
So, I mean, this is so they're actually destroying, you know, or the Germans destroying that nuclear plant some months ago in Bavaria. You know, they invited the public to come watch them blow up the cooling towers.
I was going to say, and they built it like 2 years before. It was worth tens of billions of dollars. I mean, it's suicidally stupid what they're doing. And you brought something really interesting at the end there. I've all this other stuff I want to ask you about, but you just mentioned, you said it was more than a cyber attack, or it was more than, you know, a computer hacking attack. But I was actually just having this conversation with some of the crew last night, because we were talking about what would be the most, you know, predictable, you know, if we were predicting what the big false flag attack would be, we were saying it'll probably be against energy infrastructure here in America. And probably the easiest and best way to do it would be a cyber attack. And we know that a lot of, you know, the lockstep document that a lot of people point to, the Rockefeller document that seems to have predicted or planned COVID and the lockdowns there, the section right after lockdown is hack attack. And it talks about attacks against infrastructure. What do you think the likelihood is that the attacks on infrastructure and energy infrastructure in particular that's taking place in the Middle East right now, what's the likelihood that that comes to America? And if it does come to America, what form do you think it will take?
Oh, extremely high, Harrison. What form will it take? Well, if we look at the form that they're doing of these other attacks, they're final attacks. I mean, like, they really took out Nord Stream. They really took out that nuclear plant that you were just talking about. I mean, they destroyed it, right?
Yeah.
And some of the coal-fired plants in the United States, they blow them up. And so likewise with a lot of the water infrastructure in Europe, there's actually a website that tracks this in English. They're destroying water infrastructure all over Europe. And so what form would it take, the destruction of the U.S. grid? Well, they could do software attacks, but I think you'll probably see physical attacks as well,
yeah.
Right? And you know, they will have mapped out the critical nodes. They'll know you know, which places to take out that are hardest to caught, you know, to recover, and go for it. And those power plants are obviously, you know, key places, as you can imagine. And likewise, you know, I've been suspicious of a lot of the things that's happened. I'm in Japan right now, like Fukushima. You go up to Fukushima, and you can see there's radiation monitors by the side of the road, like almost like electronic, check your speed, but it's like it's telling you how many, what the radiation, and you can see it fluctuating as you're driving. Yeah, I think it's there to scare people out of Fukushima, is my guess. But we went up there actually to a large vaccine, quote unquote, a factory that they're making up in Fukushima. It's huge. I mean, I published on it about 2 years ago. Yeah, 2.5 years ago, maybe. But I mean, you know, it's a full spectrum war that's going on. Whether it's pharma, whether it's, you know, spraying the skies or entomological with bugs, or opening the borders. The border invasions are far from over. I mean, you're gonna, you know,
well, they're ramping up in places like Spain.
Still in place. Yeah, Spain's being, and it's the likely suspects doing it. The same ones that have always been doing it. The NGOs the same NGOs, right? They have not been addressed. If the powers that be wanted to stop this, it would be a simple matter. You'd take out those NGOs, which would probably take, you know, about half a day, and then those would be done.
Hell, you don't have to. You could just stop actively funding the NGOs, and they'll go away in about a day. It's easy. You know, you don't even have to have a law to stop them. Just stop actively giving them money.
Right.
I love that you brought up Fukushima. It's funny, coincidental. I just said on X, somebody asked, what's your favorite conspiracy theory? My favorite conspiracy theory, favorite in that it's, you know, people don't know it, but it's fascinating. Fukushima was built by, it's the only reactor in Japan that was built by an American company that has ties to the CIA. It was built on a fault line. It was almost, seems like it was set up to fail. At the time, there were a lot of questions about whether there was an earthquake machine at work creating this on purpose. And the ultimate result of that was that what's-her-name got elected in Germany. At the time, there was a big election in Germany, and the big question about the election was, do we do nuclear energy or, you know, fossil fuels? And nuclear energy was winning, and they were going to win until the Fukushima thing happened. Germany decides, oh, nuclear energy isn't worth it, and they elect, I'm blanking, not Ursula von der Leyen, who's the German chancellor that opened the door and let all the migrants in. She got elected because Fukushima went down. So it's like, you really look at this from a bird's eye view, and it's like, are all of these things tied in together? Is this all a push that's been going on for several decades to demonize cheap, effective energy, to poison the sea so we can't get natural foods? We have to do that, mechanically or industrially as well. Flood Germany with migrants, destroy the German state, then do the climate change agenda. It's like all of these things all seem to be pushing towards the same direction. Whether it was an intended or not, I guess we can debate. But that is the series of events, as bizarre as it may seem.
Actually, I think the theory that you're throwing on the table, I think it holds water. You know, I was actually in Afghanistan when Fukushima did its thing. I was right on the Iranian border, actually, out with Baluch people, and I saw that thing happen, and I actually left Afghanistan and went straight to Japan.
Yeah.
And actually, it took like a week to get there because I was out in the boondocks of Afghanistan. But I get to Japan, and the Navy, U.S. Navy, told me they were going to let me get on the aircraft carrier, the Ronald Reagan. Then I show up to Japan, and they're like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm the person that you just invited in from the boondocks of Afghanistan to get on the carrier. But I never got on it, actually.
Wow.
And later, they said that, and later you may have seen reports that the aircraft carrier itself was said to be irradiated from the plume. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe they're using that as a way to do something with the Ronald Reagan. I don't know. But one thing we do know, and you guys talk about it all the time on InfoWars, is that these, you know, the highest form of warfare is information war. I mean, it is the highest form of warfare. And and a lot of, as you know, there's a real component to it. I mean, often a lot of people do die and that sort of thing. And often it's just, you know, but if you go to Fukushima now, you see those, electronic readouts of the, of the how much radiation is flowing around there right now. It's amazing. They've depopulated a lot of that area. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And of course, it's, I don't know, it's hard to see it as a coincidence when clearly the powers that be want to demonize cheap and effective energy production, and you have this very coincidental disaster leading to everything else. And just to emphasize what you were saying earlier, this story was published today from France 24. Blindsided, U.S. farmers strained as fertilizer costs surge in war. On a farm in North Carolina, planting and preparations are underway for corn and soybean crops, but fertilizer costs have surged on war in the Middle East, and orders he placed weeks ago have never arrived. So, I mean, this is already having tangible effect. I mean, we keep being told, oh, it's not going to affect us. It's not going to affect us. We have our own stuff. You know, it's just affecting Europe and China, so it's a good thing. But American farmers are getting hit with this fertilizer shortage, aren't they?
They are. They are. And, you know, I think it's going to get a lot worse. You know, the flash to bang on this is kind of slow because there's a lot of fertilizer in the pipeline. There's still a lot of nitrogen in the fields and that sort of thing. And we're eating food that was produced last year now. So when we fade into 2027, I think we're going to start feeling it like very heavy. The energy we're going to start feeling very soon, you know, as the ships that are already out to sea, you know, as those things get, you know, used up, then we're going to start to feel the energy side. But when it comes to the crop side, there's another way to fast forward this. That is if they close the Strait of Malacca, close the Turkish, you know, say the Bosphorus and the Danish Straits and those sorts of things, you close those and you know, close the Panama Canal. Closing the Panama Canal can have an impact. A lot of food flows through the Panama Canal from South America. A lot of food produced in South America flows both directions through the Panama Canal. So closing all these places, Malacca is huge. I mean, if you close the Strait of Malacca, I say huge. I mean, the Strait of Malacca is not huge, and the Strait of Singapore is tiny, actually. But the stuff that flows through there, huge. It's absolutely massive. I've been warning Japanese for years, by the way. If you see the Strait of Hormuz closed for any length of time, you should stock up heavy on food.
Yeah.
Right. And we're way into that. But I really think they're going to go for the and one of the things I've talked about before, I think I talked about with you, was the Kra Isthmus Canal. Right. And I talk about it all the time for years now. I first did a recon of that in 2014. There's no canal there now. But now with the Strait of Malacca threatened, the Chinese are like, yeah, we're going to build that canal through Thailand. The Kra Isthmus. Kra means turtle in Thailand. It's that like elephant trunk isthmus that goes down to, you know, from what is Thailand, and it goes down to Malaysia, right? So you could build a canal across there. It's been a dream for centuries. But now with the threat to the Strait of Malacca, I think they're going to go for it. And they'll probably build also the Funan Techo Canal through Cambodia from the Mekong River. Now, that'll go right through the Gulf of Thailand. I'm about to tell you something very important. That'll go right through the Gulf of Thailand. So if you look on a map of where the Funan Techo Canal will be, if they do that, and where the Kra Isthmus Canal will be, if they do that, which I think that they will, that goes right through the Gulf of Thailand. There's energy out there. Now, Israelis have been colonizing an island called Koh Tao. I've been there. Koh means island in Thai language. Koh Tao, K-H-O, next word is Tao, T-A-O. If you look where Koh Tao is in Koh Phangan and Koh Samui, that's right along the route that will be between the Funan Techo Canal and the Kra Isthmus Canal.
Well, very interesting. Hold on. Yeah, I'm going to have to see a map of this to fully understand what you're saying. We got to go to break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Michael Yon. Follow him on X at Michael_Yon, MichaelYon.com as well. And we'll be back on the other side to pick it up right there. This is fascinating stuff. I hadn't even heard of these canals he's bringing up now.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt Smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you feel in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our ultimate methylene blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two, the same formula but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
I hear people. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Normally, I host the War Room. I believe Rob Dew has taken that over for me tonight. I'm joined, of course, right now by Michael Yawn. I'll be joined by Kyle Serafin in the next hour. And then Matt Bracken takes over to interview Victor Boot in the fourth hour of today's Alex Jones Show broadcast. But I do got to tell you, folks, today and today only, every product on the AlexJonesStore.com that's branded InfoWars are 60% off. Shirts and hats, as well as the InfoWars cooler bundle. And I said it before, I'll say it again. You've probably heard the term last chance quite a bit on InfoWars because we're constantly having sales start and end. And so we'll say this is your last chance to get this sale or this is your last chance to be entered to win the raffle. And it's always true when we say that, but this is your last chance. This may be the last chance ever to get InfoWars branded material. InfoWars is shutting down. We will no longer be able to use this branding or sell this logo. So if you want some InfoWars merchandise, if you want a collectible, maybe just to put away and sell as a collector's item in the future, I wouldn't blame you. And now is the time. Today only, all InfoWars products are 60% off at thealexjonesstore.com. The InfoWars cooler bundle would be a great purchase as we get closer to summer You're saving over $100 off. That's 60% off as well. VIP members pay even less. You get the ultimate portable cooler as well as InfoWars Edition polarized sunglasses and InfoWars Edition koozies. So lots of InfoWars branding on that, and it's on a just absolutely massive discount. I mean, honestly, if you're a VIP member, you're paying less than $64 for that cooler bundle when the cooler itself is worth more than that. You're getting all these other additions on top of it. And again, last chance, InfoWars branded products right now, today only, 60% off. Last chance ever to buy an InfoWars, officially InfoWars branded product before we shut down and they become a matter of history. Now, with that, again, I'm happy to have Michael Yawn on the show with me today at Michael Yawn on X. I'm sorry, at Michael underscore Yawn on X, MichaelYawn.com, MichaelYawn.locals.com as well. I had not heard of this island you just mentioned, Koh Tao. I wrote it down, but it goes in line with other stuff we've been seeing. You said it's been sort of colonized by Israelis. I want you to expand on that because at the same time, there's been rumors and stories recently from March of this year. Israeli officials suggest purchasing Greek islands as a haven for Jewish people. There's a story from Gen X Girl on Substack, Argentina to accept 300,000 Israelis to create a Israeli mini state within Argentina. And now you're telling me there's this, I mean, what do you mean when you say the Israelis are, you know, colonizing this island? And is this happening all over the place and we're just not aware of it?
Oh, yeah. In fact, actually, instead of locals, I'm on Substack. Substack, by the way. Anyway, to mention that. But the I'm on Substack pretty often. But when it comes to where are the Israelis going, they're obviously, going to Cyprus and that sort of thing. And they're going down to Argentina, which we went down there and looked at that. It's quite fascinating. And they're also going to Panama, right? Now, and they're going to many places, but if you look at the places they're going to, a landing strip, you might say, has been built for them, not a physical landing strip, but Guatemala is prepped as well. Let's put it that way. We went down to Guatemala and looked. Now, if you look at Thailand, the places where the Israelis are going, are one of them is called Pai. I've been up there looking at it, Pai, P-A-I. It's in northern Thailand, and you'll see that's a strategic route that the Japanese were at during World War II, so that's strategic. Now, you go to Koh Tao, and those three islands that you saw when you look up Koh Tao, there's Koh Tao, Koh Phangan, and Koh Samui. I've been out on those islands for several months, right? So Koh Tao is where, and Koh Phangan, there's a lot of Israelis there, right? Now, if you look at the Funan Techo Canal and where it's not open, the Funan Techo Canal is not built, but the proposed Funan Techo Canal in Cambodia, and you look at where the Kra Isthmus Canal will be, that Koh Tao is a perfect place to have influence over the. It's clear, by the way, let's set the table on this. It's clear, by the way, that Thailand is being attacked to be destroyed. Crystal clear to me. Now, where's my background on this? I'm very familiar with Thailand. I used to have an office there. I wrote the last two pages in one of the prime minister's book. It's called the book is called The Simple Truth. I wrote the last two pages, actually. I've been all over Thailand, every province. Thailand is the hyphen in Indo-Pacific security. It's a very important place, right? That's why the United States and others have put so much emphasis on Thailand for generations, right? And that's why I put so much emphasis on Thailand. I first went to look at the Kra Isthmus Canal potential project in 2014, right? Because I could see that this is at some point probably will come to pass. Now, that will allow the users of the Kra Isthmus Canal to bypass the Strait of Malacca. Now, a dream of building a canal across the Kra Isthmus, Kra in Thai language means turtle, by the way. So turtle isthmus, let's say. A dream of making that canal is at least several centuries old, maybe four centuries old. I haven't been able to find I don't know how far back it goes, but it goes back very far. I haven't been able to find the first reference, but it goes back very far. And you know, I've got an old map from the 1800s, actually, where they're, you know, it's drawn. It's not made yet. It's very difficult. You know, Suez was difficult to make, but Suez was a joke to make compared to the Panama Canal. Panama Canal was very difficult. Kra Isthmus Canal is even more difficult, right?
Right.
Otherwise, it would already be built. But it could be built, though. It's not a technical reason why it's not been built. There's political reasons as well. Like the British did not want to bypass. They didn't want anybody bypassing the Strait of Malacca. Now, China wants to be able to bypass the Strait of Malacca because China, that's why just in the last 24 hours or so, China is getting, you know, starting to talk about Christmas very loud now. Now, they've already got the plans to do it. Thailand bucks back and pushes back on those plans because what Thailand is concerned about is if numerous things. One, if they build the canal, it'll be good for Thailand on some aspects, but some, there's a breakaway, you know, there's a war in those bottom three provinces that border Malaysia. And some of the Thai leadership is concerned that a canal would be like, hey, there's a split between us, even though it's just a canal. And, you know, we're going to break off for real. You know, they would love the secessionists, right? Anyway, not to go into all the internal details, but Thailand itself is clearly under attack. For instance, now they've got thousands of cannabis licenses have been issued in the last 4 years. They've got cannabis stores all over the place now. In fact, I went into a lot of those stores in Bangkok. If you look on, say, Google Maps, you'll see cannabis stores everywhere. But the maps that you see online, there's a lot more in person, actually, that haven't populated the maps yet. But that's one of the primary weapons, by the way, on dumbing people down,
right,
is intoxicants, whether that be alcohol, cannabis, or whatever. And if you watch the countries that are targeted, like Israel itself is being targeted by the same Zionist, actually. I know that sounds maybe like that would never happen, but that is 100% happening. I mean, the Zionists are actually targeting Israelis as well. They don't care about Israelis. They don't care about a homeland for the Jews. That's about routes and resources. That's what that's about.
You know, it's really interesting. Just on that note, because I was going to talk about this anyway, but just to emphasize your point, somebody posted this map of the ethno-religious diversity of Lebanon, just showing that, you know, while Lebanon is sort of slandered as this extremist country, it's like, no, there's actually huge parts with the majority Catholic, majority appears other Christian, which would be Orthodox Christian or Greek Orthodox in the orange. But Gad Saad actually responded to this map saying, oh, gee, where'd all the Jews go? Didn't Lebanon used to have a big population of Jews? And the answer is actually the final exodus of Lebanese Jews happened in August 1982 when Israeli forces invaded Lebanon and laid siege to Beirut. Over 100 Jewish families were displaced after Israeli forces bombarded the Jewish quarter, leaving it nearly abandoned, and shelled its synagogue, which suffered extensive damage. By 2005, the Jewish quarter of Beirut only held 40 to 200 Jews. They just bombed the synagogue in Iran, where there's a sizable Jewish population. So just to emphasize and sort of confirm what you're saying, the Zionists don't give a damn about Jews. And if it's Jews in a country they want to target, oh, well, they'll have to pay the price along with all the non-Jews. So just to emphasize what you're saying.
You're bringing up something extreme. Where'd you get that book, man? I got to get that. The Ethno-Religious Diversity of Lebanon. I got to get that. All right.
This was posted on X. I don't know. I'll send it to you.
Oh, thank you very much. And listen, this is very important because you've spurred something important. There's a lot of Lebanese, actually, that speak Spanish fluently, right? And so they have a very close relationship there with Panama and Venezuela as well. Anyway, and some other parts down there. So interestingly, I mean, they speak Spanish natively, right?
Right.
And so what's interesting is you saw the fire under the bridge at Panama last week or so. And I think they'll probably, this is my guess, I think that what'll happen is the United States, let's say the Zionists, because the big power structures in Panama are Zionist and Chinese Communist Party. Chinese and Zionists are moving in hard on Panama, and they have been for generations, actually. So, but what I'm getting to is the Zionists can then use that the bridge fire and blame that on the Iranians. There's Iranians that live in Panama too, and also blame it on the Lebanese because the Lebanese have a serious home base there in Panama. So the Zionists can use that to then, first of all, send more U.S. forces into Panama, and also to target the Lebanese and Iranians and others who live there that the Zionists want to get out of Panama. I think you're going to see that happening because that's like a no-brainer for those who are following the larger aspects of the war. You know, that they're at war with Lebanon, and they don't want the Lebanese, you know. I've been right over there. I've been right where that fire was. You can walk under that bridge. I've walked under there quite a few times showing people. I took Brett Weinstein down there and all kinds of other people. It's quite fascinating.
Certainly doesn't look like an accident. And of course, that all combines interestingly with the other news stories today about Trump going after the Pope, and Spain and Italy are breaking with Israel. And so we're going to start sanctioning them. Lebanon is like very large portions of that country are Catholic. So you see the Catholics sort of trying to intervene and stop. So there's this like Israeli Catholic friction cropping up that I think is sort of an interesting dynamic to what you're describing.
Oh, yeah. That's been going on for, I don't know, 2,000 years.
Oh, right. The whole time, I guess. Yeah. If you really look into it.
Has been going on for a while.
That's right.
We're looking at a really mature tree here, you know what I mean? Or a jungle. So, I mean, this is a, you know, oh, yeah, we could go on for hours and hours about that. But that's you know, and you'll hear people like Netanyahu talk about the Romans and they talk about them like this is an ongoing fight with the Romans.
Right.
I mean, they, you know.
And we're the new Rome, apparently.
Clear terms. Yeah, exactly. And so this is what this is. I mean, it's an old fight. Remember, wars are about routes, resources, and ideology. That's what every war you've ever studied is about, either one of those things, two of those things, or all three. This is about all three. And one of the ideologies wants global depopulation. Not all of them. Some of them are not. Some of them don't want. You know, some of the oligarchical systems don't have. They have different ideologies, right?
Right.
And some want depopulation, and they're going for it. And I think they're going to get it. I think they're going to get a huge depopulation. They've already got a huge amount with the death jabs. I don't know how many and how many will end up radiating into the future from the jabs and the other pharma weapons. But when it comes to the food, you know, I think in the next couple of years, we're going to start to see a dramatic population decrease.
Yeah. And it's all about control, right? So even the dying off is really about, well, it's too hard to control all these people. If there was a lot fewer of them and they were a lot dumber and hooked on weed and pornography, it'd be real easy to control them. So that's what gives the impetus behind a lot of those movements.
Oh, you said something important. The weed. They're pushing it in Argentina, too. We went to the big expo, right? And they're clearly, the Zionists are going for Argentina, as are the Chinese, right? We went to, my wife Masako and I, we went to the CPAC thing down there, and Ben Shapiro spoke. They opened it with, Viva Argentina, Viva Estados Unidos, and Viva Israel. This was in Buenos Aires. Yeah, and Buenos Aires has, you know, long been a home seat for Jews and Nazis, right? Jews and, I mean, it's one of the biggest Jewish cities in the world, is Buenos Aires, and Naziville, right? Because they work together very closely. I mean, specifically the Zionists. I mean, look at this stuff. I mean, I just happened to have it on my desk, you know, how the Zionists were working with the Nazis. They were best buddies, man.
There's a story about that today. It's somewhere on my desk. I'll find it in just a second. But it was revealed today. Some papers were uncovered that showed some cooperation with the early Israeli sort of terror groups that were operating there. Here it is. Declassified files exposed Jewish pre-state underground militias' contacts with Nazi Germany. So, again, just to emphasize what you're saying, we've got a story from today about that exact case. Stern's Nazi gamble.
Oh, Zionists and Jews have been killing each other for more than a century. I mean, the Zionists killed one of the most famous ones was when the Zionists killed a Dutch Jew in Palestine in about 1924. What was his name? He was some Dutch poet. And they assassinated him because the Zionists and Jews have been killing each other like crazy. You'll see Jewish partisans killing Zionists, and Zionists were causing part of the pogroms because the Zionists were trying to get the Jews to move down to Israel.
That's right.
You know, the big Zionist is Malyakovsky. You know, I mean, here's Malyakovsky's daddy right here. Malyakovsky, Netanyahu. And by the way, the guy down in Argentina, Malay, his name was Malyakovsky too.
Wow.
This was Benjamin Netanyahu, the current, I guess, prime minister, if he's still alive. This is his father, Benjamin Netanyahu. But their name was Malyakovsky, right?
Right.
They changed the name to Netanyahu in roughly 1920. And the grandfather was a Russian rabbi. This guy was born in Warsaw. That's the father of the current alleged prime minister, is still alive. So they changed their name in the 1920s to Netanyahu. They're Malyakovsky, just like our, you know, just like the Malay guy down in Argentina, Malyakovsky, right? So, I mean, but keep in mind, they were all about getting the Jews down to Israel because that was about routes and resources. And the British crown, British intelligence and whatnot, was the one that they were supporting these guys hard, Theodor Herzl and all those guys. Right. You know, Theodor Herzl was the original gangster for the British when it came to getting the Zionists together. And, you know, his name is on these I've showed you before the share warrant that issued in 1899 to get the Jews to go down to Palestine, you know, to make the colony down there. Theodore Herzl's name is the first name on there, right? And the British are the ones that sponsored all that. And keep in mind, these colonies are nothing new. My family came over to the United States with the Virginia Company of London, and they were shipwrecked on Bermuda in 1609. Their name's in there, the Eastons. That's my mother's side, right? My direct line. And that's the reason Bermuda is part of, is a territory, the oldest territory of Great Britain now, is United Kingdom, is because of that shipwreck. It was called the Sea Venture. It was the flagship of the Virginia Company of London. In fact, here's some of their old records. I just happen to have it out today. I mean, this is a book from 1906, I think, right?
Wow.
There's four of these books. Anyway, this, you know, it goes through my family was on there. They were on the Sea Venture, got shipwrecked. And what I'm getting to is they raised money to make the colony, just like colonies all over the world. They raise money, sell shares, that's how the Scottish ended up getting absorbed by England, because they went bankrupt, because they started a colony in Derry in Panama, actually. And they went bankrupt in the 1690s, so they got absorbed in about 1706 or 7 by the English. But because Great Britain did not exist yet, when the Scottish went bankrupt in Darien, they had two missions, lost about 2,000 people, the Darien Project. They went bankrupt, and that was when England absorbed Scotland. And a lot of Scottish people don't realize that. The reason that it became the United Kingdom of England and Scotland was because Scotland went bankrupt in Darien, Panama, right? Now, then, you know, if Scotland had succeeded, it would probably be the United Kingdom of Scotland and England,
right,
instead of England and Scotland, right? I mean, because the Scottish would have been kicking some butt, right? But so it was all about these routes and resources, and they went bankrupt. And so, I mean, all these colonies, company towns all over America, that sort of thing, you know, these company towns, America was built on company towns. Our whole country was built, you know, in service of routes and resources, right? You know, company towns where the company, let's say you want to have a copper mine, and there you go, the Darien scheme, man. That's fascinating stuff. I've got several books on it. I'm down in Darien all the time. They still got that fort out there in the jungle. And actually, the place where the Scottish picked was one of the major routes where we almost built the canal. The Scottish picked well. Those Scottish, man, they're smart. They picked the right place. They definitely picked the right place. But, you know, they didn't succeed due to various reasons. One is the mosquitoes were not happy with them.
Right.
And the Darien jungle is really dangerous.
No, they were much, much happier in the frozen wastes of Canada. They thrived in Canada and in different places like that. Let me ask, because we don't have too much longer, and I got this story that I'll play the video on the other side, but I want your input as a expert of warfare and the changing nature of warfare from Politico, and we've got the video about this. Robots captured Russian army positions for the first time in history, Zelensky says. He says that a battalion of robots, and only robots, captured a Russian position. It's the first time in history that an enemy position was taken exclusively by unmanned platforms, ground systems, and drones. I mean, this seems like a watershed moment in human history. We now have the first successful mission entirely with unmanned drones being carried out.
Think about that in regard to these AI centers, these data centers,
yep,
right? So when you can make massive amounts of robots you've got the data and the ability to control those robots, whether they're drones that are ground drones or air drones or hybrid or water drones or whatever. I mean, you can control a lot of planet Earth just by using your data centers and your drone technology.
Yeah.
It's a very serious thing. You know, this is future world, right?
It's a scary world we're moving into, and there's more and more videos being posted of little robot dogs patrolling parking garages and things. I mean, we're the frog in the boiling pot, and the heat being applied is AI and data centers. And of course, that is completely at odds with the climate change agenda and the, you know, we have to save the earth and not use electricity. I mean, the data centers, the amount of electricity they use is unimaginable. The one in Ohio that they're building is going to use the equivalent of 9 nuclear power plants on one data facility, and it's not going to benefit the people at all. I mean, again, how do we get through to people about what's actually going on here, because they're being told, well, you know, we need these data centers for, I don't even know what the claimed reason for data centers is, because the only thing they're going to do with it is enslave us. Like, that's the only possible use they could have for it. They're being tossed, you know, pulled and pushed in all these different directions. We've got to save the earth and not use electricity. Actually, now we need infinite electricity for these data centers. How do we break through to people to let them know, like, what's really going on here?
If they haven't woken up now, I mean, it's a big deal. They'll die. They'll literally die. And, this is significant, to put it mildly. And you can see that. That clearly is the direction that it's going. You know, here in Japan, you can already see in some restaurants up in Tokyo, they got robots as servers.
Yep.
Or you go into some buildings and it's like robots that are cleaning and actually patrolling the hallways, you know, and in the airports too. I've seen that in Thailand as well. I've seen it in various countries where in the airports you'll see, you know, these robots, you know, going around and blinking, their eyes blink, you know, that's what, it's creepy. It's creepy. Hardcore creepy.
That is very creepy. I still have a visceral response whenever I see Ro. I just want to destroy them. I'm a Luddite like that, I guess you could say. But hey, I'd rather have a robot checking me in than somebody that doesn't speak English and just arrived 3 months ago. But this is the false dichotomy we're being presented with.
Harrison, you just did a throwaway, Luddite. You know, that's where the word sabotage came from, was those guys.
That's
Luddites,
right.
They would, or their Sabo shoes.
The wooden clogs would clog up the machines, yeah.
Yeah, you do a lot of throwaways, man, that should, you know, keep talking about it. It's very important.
Well, we could spend, all day on this stuff, on each one of these little stories. I mean, there's so much more to get into. We only got 1 minute left. There's not enough time to cover this, but just since you might have insight, missing nuclear official becomes 10th person died to dark patterns surrounding U.S. secrets. I mean, any insight on what's causing these nuclear scientists to go missing?
I don't know. I don't know anything. And it's obviously interesting, to put it mildly again.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't know what's happening. Yeah.
But hey, it's not sort of out of what you'd expect with everything else that we're seeing with the attacks on energy worldwide to try to create this massive die-off. This is the most important thing we could be talking about right now, since it's going to affect everybody on Earth, and it's coming whether we like it or not. Michael Yon, thank you so much. As always, follow Michael Yon on X at Michael_Yon, MichaelYon.com, and is it MichaelYon.substack.com?
Michael Yon, look up Big Honey. It'll pop up.
Big yep. Honey, It'll Michael Yon honey. On Substack. Well, thank you so much for joining us, sir. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you
Harrison.
Again soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Always a pleasure. All right, folks, we're going to be back for the third hour of the Alex Jones Show shortly with Kyle Serafin to answer questions. We're going to get back into domestic news with him. Please support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Last chance to get InfoWars-branded material.
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the info war today by going to thealexjonesstore.com and picking up a bottle of Zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.